Yeah, crap. So starting my little podcast, and then of course American Airlines customer service called me because I just emailed them the support documentation for my emotional support animal, or shall I say, I'm Wooly's emotional support human, and I had to take the call because, you know, those mofos ain't calling back. And, you know, Wooly and I are moving to Boston, well, to Cambridge, I guess, come August 6th, and in a couple of days, I fly to Boston for a week, maybe a week and a half, who knows, to get a place that accepts cats, and he's an emotional support cat, although sometimes he's not very present in my life. He mostly hides under the house. And I was trying to do this, like, fun rant, but that didn't go well, because then those mofos called. All right, so back to what I was talking about. But I like to do my podcast in my house, alone, when there's nobody to hear me and nobody to join in, because that's really, you know, what a podcast is for, a one-way conversation with me and the rest of the world. Kind of like when I'm doing open mic, but like right now, you know, there's like a quarter inch of, you know, hair growth that's like, you know, pure white. Don't really want to be seen in public right now. I mean, I'm clean. I like shower twice a day because it's really hot. But, you know what I'm saying. Okay, so if I'm talking weirdly or weird-ish, it's because I have these Invisalign retainers in my mouth along with those little Invisalign knob jobs that they put on your teeth. Oh, and I did have a ginger chew candy in my mouth, but then I put it into the first page of my book that I'm going to review for my book club podcast, because nobody will invite me to their podcast, or to their book club. I tried joining one on Nextdoor a couple months ago, or I think even when Nextdoor first started, I was like, yeah, I'm interested in reading books with other people, and nobody got back to me. Then a couple of years ago, I said we should do an online book club, and this gal from MIT said, yeah, and then, like, nothing happened. So this is to prove to myself that I can and do read, and I read whatever I feel like, usually magazines, so not books as much, but I've been reading books because the Wi-Fi quality on airplanes is really bad, and reading a book is nice when you're doing steps inside in the wintertime. So and when you're inside and it's cold, you can always read a good book. And you don't have to curl up with it, because that's not going to get you any exercise. But you can do steps and read a book, as long as you're not in public, you know, just fine. Oh, so back to the retainer thing. I've had these on since, like, last September. So it's been kind of an accelerated program, and my teeth are doing really well, which means I can take better open-mouth selfies. And I just hope when they take these little knobbies off my teeth that the color underneath them is the same as the color around them. And I've been brushing and flossing, I think, pretty fastidiously, almost to the point where I've basically just stopped eating the kinds of foods that I like, and especially eating in public, because it was just so annoying to have to clean the teeth in, like, a public bathroom after that, because, you know, I have to floss and brush and tongue scrape, and it's really hard to do that in a public bathroom. Plus, I have to, you know, clean the counters and make sure the whole area is sanitary. So at that point, I might just as well get paid to clean the bathrooms. Okay, so all that being said, and nobody else better frickin' call. Nobody calls me anyway, so why on earth somebody would call me now? I don't know. Okay, so I randomly picked up this book because the name of the book, called Shoe Dog, which is a memoir by the creator of Nike, Phil Knight. Okay, until I picked up this book, I didn't know who TF founded Nike. I like their shoe. My parents wouldn't let me buy one because, you know, we shopped at Kmart for all of our Western clothing. This is the 80s. I'm old. And I didn't get the kind of Nikes I wanted till like 2012, when they brought back some of their retro ones. And I was like, yeah, those are the ones I like. And that was like really fun because I didn't like the ones that were super aerodynamic or anything, or, you know, foamy and fluffy. I liked the old ones that just kept your feet in place because my feet are subject to, was it called pronation or something? I forget. Anyway, this was a pretty good read, I have to say. And I was surprised. I didn't know that it would be. I've been buying a lot of shoes the last year and a half because I've been walking and walking a lot. I started doing a couple thousand steps a day because I had nothing to do. And then I liked it, and I liked the fresh air. And then I just liked being outside, and I would walk in the rain or, you know, early in the morning, as early as 6 a.m., no earlier, or as late as like 8, but, you know, definitely inside the house by 9. And so I've gone through a lot of shoes, mostly walking shoes, but there's no rule against wearing running shoes while you're walking. And in college, I used to run, and it's a little harder for me now to run for a variety of reasons, but let's just go, my knees are old or something like that. I don't know. Also, I'm embarrassed to run in public nowadays. Okay, so I thought walking, it's free. I don't want to pay the man for any exercise. So I thought I'd learn more about the shoes because I love shoes. Anyway, this only takes you through the IPO, and as far as I know, they only had the first IPO. I don't know what happened after that. And I thought, I'm going to business school. This would be a fun book to read about business, and I want to start my own business, and I want part of it to be, you know, retail and innovations and things. And Nike was, I think is, still one of the true innovators in the business. There's a lot of them, and I'm not particular. But, you know, and he tells the fun stories. He tells about paying the gal, you know, $35 for making the swoosh. And then he also tells later that he gifted her, you know, the company gave her for her services a lot of stock. So she did okay for a 5-minute job. And it kind of takes you back to the 60s and 70s and 80s. And there's not a lot of women in the story, except his wife, that he met because he was a professor and she was in his class. No. But again, it's the 60s. But he talks about how he traveled and how he liked these shoes from Japan. I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong, but the Onizuka Tigers. And I have a couple of pairs of those too. In fact, I've got all the shoes that he mentions. I've got Adidas, or as it's supposed to be pronounced, Adidas. I've got Converse. I love Converse. I have the old ones, not the new design. I've got New Balance. All these guys, and it's not based on anybody's endorsement. When I read things periodically about how Nike's done or how they haven't done. But this guy, Phil Knight, traveled to Japan and started selling the Tiger shoes in the U.S., in the West, and really took his company to the edge. And you're supposed to pay yourself. Well, he didn't pay himself. He actually had a day job while he did this in the evenings and, you know, lived with his parents. And granted, his parents had a bigger house than most of us have, or most of our parents had. And he did go to Stanford Business School, and he gets a big S for that. But that notwithstanding, he talks about the men of Oregon, and they stick together, and his coach wrote a book about, you know, running, and running became a thing, and I really identified with that, because I like to run. I like which is why I like to walk, because I like the solitary aspect. I like the fresh air. I like how it clears my head. I like how I can think, and I like how nowadays I can take notes on my phone. If I have a thought, I just, you know, put up my notepad on the phone, or I text somebody. And this guy talks about that, and he talks about all the scary things about you know, money and being in charge of the company and hiring good people, and, you know, taxes and duties and dealing with the government. And despite the fact that I know the, was it the accounting equation? Well, okay, almost know it. This guy still had me on the edge of my seat, like, and I knew that the company was going to survive. I knew he was going to survive. And I'm like, oh, what's going to happen next? And I was getting like so stressed out. I almost couldn't read the book because it was just so stressful, because he was talking about the finances and not having money. And that's something that's definitely relatable to by me at different times, and starting school and like not working and not having an apartment and not having a job. And not having a lot of it. But, you know, this guy, he put his heart into this company and he renamed it, and he had people that he trusted around him. And I'm kind of working on that. But he just did all these things. And to him, the main thing was shoes, building great shoes for people who run. And clearly the company has, you know, gone and built upon that and, you know, 1,000 times over. But, you know, this guy's an introvert, like me, and she's just a quiet guy, and he just likes to run. And he does take his history a little further about when one of his sons dies and how he got rejected by a woman, and we should all feel rejection at some point, and not in a bad way, but hopefully in a kind and gentle way. But, you know, he talks about how it wasn't about the money. It was about the shoe. It was about getting the product to market. And the biggest issue he had as an entrepreneur, and I feel his pain, is, you know, cash flow, because you can only sell as many shoes as you can make. And you can only make as many as you can get money to pay the manufacturers for. And so, you know, it's just this kind of vicious cycle, and you can do all the sales, and at the end of the day, or at the end of the billing cycle, you still only have a slightly higher balance in your accounts. And he talks about talking to banks and how they wouldn't give him the money and getting a small business loan. And all this stuff is really, really relevant. And like begging for money and getting a couple grand from his dad, which in the 60s was quite a bit of money, but, you know, just his dad not paying him anything more after that, his mom still believing in him, and his wife believing in him, and then buying this, you know, smallish house, which is the same size as my current house, and I know these guys are in a bigger house nowadays, but then, you know, talking about meeting Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, and like, you know, Phil Knight's a, you know, billionaire many times over, but he's not as much of a billionaire as Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett isn't as much of a billionaire as Bill Gates, who isn't as much as Jeff Bezos. So there's always, you know, there's always a bigger fish. But, you know, this guy seems like the kind of guy that I would like to meet. And I don't want to meet Bill Gates. I do want to meet Warren Buffett. I do want to meet Jeff Bezos in a mixed way. But there's a lot of these guys, I read about them, I'm like, I don't want to meet them. This guy, I think, yeah, I want to meet him. He did things the right way. He did right by his company. He did right by his employees, or he tried. And there's bad decisions, there's good decisions. But, yeah, I would love to talk to this guy, not about any of that, but about how to make a shoe. And, you know, why did you guys acquire Cole Haan? And why did you ruin the Cole Haan brand? And, you know, how come? I have a lot of those kind of questions. And then what do you do with all your spare time? And I don't know, what did you think about Japan? Because I've never been there. So, yeah, that's the end of this book club meeting of my podcast. Let's see. I don't know what I'll talk about next time. It's just like if I feel like I need to talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to you guys, the listener of my podcast. So let me say something fun. Make it a great Friday. Bye.